Good morning.
Good morning.
To carry from our lessons in the last few months, actually, from the Beatitudes on to and in the Sermon of the Mount, will be in chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 today, where Jesus describes his people. Last week we talked about being the salt of the earth. And that salt needs to maintain its saltiness to have any effect on the person next to us, both in his church and outside the church. And today, we carry over to Jesus' words when he says in verse 14 of chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that when they see your good works and give glory to God, your Father, who's in heaven." You know, God has always been and intended for His people that they would be a visible light to the people around them, showing an influence and an attraction. The light attracts. Jesus teaches us how to live this out by obeying the truth of the gospel. And in this sermon, Jesus speaks, he's teaching us practicals of how to be light to others. And the purpose of our lights is to bring others to God. There's no other reason to be a light than to have a purpose beyond ourselves. There's plenty of people that stay hidden many days of their lives. They're quiet. The Christian is to be like a beacon, a light, to be seen by people, not so that they can look at our deeds and say how awesome they are and how awesome we are, but they can say there's something about these people that are carrying out characteristics that I want to know the God they serve. And so as a Christian, God's placed us in His kingdom to shine His glory to other people. Amen. It's a privilege. And think of that word, a privilege, to be called by the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ into His marvelous light. And as we have been called into His marvelous light, we're able to reflect that to others. Peter states it the best when he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And we have a purpose. The message title today is Living in the Light. Point one is to let your light shine. Jesus said, "We're the light of the world." Our daily actions point back to God. The way we live points back to God. In Psalm 34:5, it states, "Those who look to Him are radiant." This is to God the Father. "And their faces shall never be ashamed." A godly person's going to radiate God's glory. In fact, when looking to God, we'll bring that radiant face. You know, we think of the Bible, and in Acts chapter 6, we see Stephen's face. Those who wanted to kill him, he reflects the glory of God because he was doing God's work. He was doing the will of God. He was a light before men, shining to benefit other people around him with the gospel message that could save other souls. You look in those whose faces who fell, right? You have the radiant face, and then you have the rich man's face. He was saddened, right? He says, "Jesus, I've kept all these things since I've been a kid, a boy. I'm a godly person, aren't I? And he says, one thing you lack, go sell your possessions, all of them, and then come follow me. And of course, we know that his wealth clouded him up because he was a man of great wealth. He put his head to the... I can't do it. Put his head down. I can't do this. And so, you see the two extremes there. A radiant-faced person for God and a person that just couldn't fulfill being and allowing his light to shine. You know, our radiance will shine God's light in the world when we live the Beatitudes of Christ. There's no doubt the reason why Jesus gave us those Beatitudes in the beginning of his sermon is that these are those who would be blessed. For all the way from the person that's poor in spirit, that recognizes their need for God, all the way to that person that's in living out God's will, living out his purposes, understanding what it means to be humble toward all men, what it understands about being meek and to be able to be merciful to others, to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker, and all the way to even a person who would be persecuted for being a light in God's kingdom. So, those who sacrifice for the gospel, and that's what a Christian does, that's what a Christian is. He's a person that, or she, is someone that sacrifices their life to give the message that can save people's souls. There'll be a light for others, giving them clear directions. The gospel is a clear message to be heard. It's not a difficult thought. Jesus answers, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. And that's in John chapter 11. From the beginning, God's always provided light, has he not? In the Old Testament, God spoke light into existence. It happened. God spoke it and it happened. The Exodus, the Israelites left Egypt. God led them through the wilderness and with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that's in Exodus 13. The law of God in the Old Covenant was, it says, your lamp, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The word of God is a light. Again, God has always from the beginning provided light to direct us toward him. In the New Testament, we see the birth of Jesus, that the celestial light up in toward the east, the Magi are guided to see the Messiah, the little baby Jesus, that we would say in Matthew 2:2. A light guided them. Jesus embodied God's full presence. In John 8:12, he makes the claim, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do we want the light of life? Are you experiencing the light of life? Faithful followers of Jesus will reflect the light to a world that's hedged. I use the word hedged in darkness because people are stuck. They don't know it, but they are. Most people are being helpless and harassed. Like Jesus said, sheep without a shepherd. That's why he came. To shepherd people to God. Walking in the light. Paul states in Romans 13:2, the night is gone, the day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Again, the idea of being the light of the world. There's an armor involved that we put on. When we walk in the light, the world today would be in total darkness without God's people. Without anyone shining the Bible and God's Word, the world would be in total darkness. The light we shine to others is truly derived from Jesus. It comes from Jesus. We preach the Word, we read the Bible to do what God says. And if God's Word doesn't say it, we don't do it. I'm not saying we know it all, but we have to know and study the Bible, God's very Word. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." May His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Now, this was the Apostle Paul. He was given divine, inspired revelation to speak God's very Word. But we have it. We have it in the Bible. The very Word of God is what shines out of darkness. It's interesting and amazing that the very words of the Bible and what the very words that are spoken to us can either save our souls or keep us away from God forever. God's Word. Words spoken. They have a powerful meaning. God does not just create light in Genesis 1:3, but He makes His light shine in the hearts of faithful believers. And you have to ask yourself, is the light shining from my heart? A city on a hill, in verse 14 He says, right, that you are a city on a hill and it cannot be hidden. There's no greater light for God than the church that is fulfilling the mission that He's given the church. The influence cannot be ignored. The world sees the church. People know the Tingsboro Church of Christ building. But you have to ask yourself, do they know who's in it? Does the world know that we're here to give them the truth? Verse 15, this passage sets forth instructions regarding the Christian's life or experience in the world. Because he says, nor do people light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. We can't hide the truth. And we can't be too busy for it. You know, I think that's a big distraction in life. It's not to be hidden. God says you're the light of the world. He makes His light shine through us. And we can't come up with excuses of why we're not letting it shine. And again, it's all about people. Christianity is about loving God, loving the church, loving God's people, and loving the lost, like Jesus. He always was about the purpose of saving people's souls. He warned about hiding it under a vessel. You know, I think about allowing the cares and the riches and the duties and the obligations of life to take precedence over faith and what really matters. What really matters to us as Christians is the gospel message that saves us and the people around us. He prohibited hiding it under a bed. You know, again, hiding it under a bed, sometimes people secretly do things and unrestrained moral behaviors. Laziness or idleness can be that idea of hiding it under a bed. You're the light of the world. God's brought you into His kingdom. Again, we can't just go in the bed and hide. Our lives as true Christians, and I put the word true Christians, should be placed upon the stand. He says, we put ourselves on a stand. We don't hide it. We're on a stand. The stand, Jesus Himself identifies us, our local church is the stand. We're the stand. And um, again, in Revelation 1:20, he talks about the church being the lampstand. A role of vessels is to hold and reflect the light of Jesus' truth and glory to a lost and dying world. Notice the lampstands, he says, are golden. He mentions the word golden, and the church is precious to Jesus, to the golden lampstands. I mean, the word golden reflects that God, we're very important to God. Each and every member that's to shine their light is crucial in God's church. Everyone is needed to partake and participate in shining the light. A church that fails to be light can have its lampstand removed. That's just the warnings that Jesus makes in Revelation 2:5. Can you imagine going to worship God, being all excited about being the light, and then Jesus says, I'm going to remove your stand from you? That's a very sobering thought. How much light are we giving to God? That's what it reminds me of. You don't want to be taken off, then you have to shine. Psalm 18:28, we read, for you, O Lord, light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God's not done with us. When we're in the light, the promise we have is reassuring. God's lighting His lamp is a reference to the constant enlightenment, again the word light, available to the faithful in God's Word, those faithful disciples, those who are the light of the world. God is not done with us. And we have a purpose beyond ourselves. And light drives the dark away. That's point three. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. In John 3:19. Quick thought, do we run to the light, or reject that light and run away? The reason for condemnation is due to a rejection of the light, of the truth that Jesus brought into the world. And light also exposes darkness. There's only two places, two extremes. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Or that opposite side is the darkness, the prince of darkness, Satan, right? We either follow God or we follow the evil one. And unfortunately, most people follow the evil one. That's the easiest route in life to take. Just don't even be spiritual. Don't even think of the Bible. Don't even read it. Don't even pray to God. Just live life. But I will say this, we have to be humble before God's throne so we're not condemned. You know, it exposes men's pride. I think of the Pharisees as we read later on in this chapter. They rejected the truth because they were not faithful to God and they chose tradition over God's word. The light of Christ dispels evil because evil cannot overcome God's light. You know, because in 1 John 1:5, God is the light. God is light. The light of life that Jesus brings delivers us from the spiritual darkness. There's no doubt about it. But it's only in Christ that we have that. Only by His teachings can we follow the light. I mean, that's the emphasis we bring about in the church, is we read the Word of God continually. We don't give up, and we continually grow and practice. Not just talk about it, but practice what it means to be in the light. Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by or through Him. In John 14:6, there's no other person that we can have and follow to be able to drive the dark away. In John 1:4, Jesus states, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John uses the word life as a noun 36 times here in his letter, and then even 11 with the conjunction of the adjective. eternal life. Eternal life. And a life came through Jesus. It's sustained by Him. Jesus gives us life, and because of this, we're responsible to Him. If we're in the light, and that's the light of men, being in the light, we become responsible to Jesus and do what He says and practice being the light of the world. Only those enlightened by Christ know the life in Jesus, and all other people are in darkness. You're either in the light or in darkness. I know it's kind of harsh sometimes because we all like to think everyone's in the light. Yes, the sun's out today. It's shining over many people, even in this area. How many of us are in the light? How many of us are in the light? It's a small majority. The light we give will bring mixed reaction from others. Because with the light and what we say, people are going to have mixed feelings about what we say. The gospel message exposes sin and calls people to repent and live a new life, a new way. Some will be drawn to the light. Isn't it encouraging when we start sharing what we believe about Jesus and it attracts people? Wow, yeah, oh, I had a great conversation. And then there's also that extreme where people don't want to hear it at all, and it's discouraging. I mean, it's tough to stand our ground and be the light when there's so much darkness. But some will follow the Beatitudes of Jesus. And I say some because not everyone, even who has read this, even has read the Beatitudes, is following the Beatitudes. And they follow their own sin. It's amazing, you know, that we can read the very Word of God, and that's why James 1:26 says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And Jesus does tell us what we're to be and who to be and why we should be that way. The invitation's simple. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world." Am I a light to others in this world? Am I clearly and brightly presenting Christ to the lost? A city on a hill. We're meant to be seen and not be hidden. Do you hide from the truth or claim it from the rooftop? Right? Jesus talks about that in Matthew 10:27. Claiming it from the rooftop. Do you really have a deep faith in your being that you would want to share with somebody else to save their soul? Shining your light, let your good deeds shine, serving others. People see your good deeds that way. It's not that we boast in those deeds, but people will give God glory, and they're going to want to serve and follow the same God you believe. We talk about unity. We talk about the oneness of God's people. This is how it's done. Bringing God glory and shining a light that people will attract, and they say, "Wow, I'm going to serve the same God you serve." Everyone who does evil hates the light and won't come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly what is done has been done in the sight of God. There's only two paths to walk on. Again, the light or the darkness. And I want to make this clear. You know, we have an invitation that we teach, that we preach, that we believe, that one must hear, read, understand the Bible. You believe what you're reading. Recognize if you're in darkness, that you're in darkness, that you're not living according to what the Bible teaches, to repent. Right? Repentance is to turn away from those things that at least we know of that aren't right in our lives, and to be baptized. Baptism is a water immersion for the forgiveness of sins. to have those sins forgiven. Once we repent of sins, something has to be done, taken away. Right? Like Ananias told Paul, the apostle, in Acts 22:16, that he would need to repent and be baptized. Why? Having his sins washed away. I pray that I make this as clear as possible. If there's anyone here that has not had their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, please come forward as we sing the invitation song. Thank you.